Hi, and welcome to the Magazine Rack on Chris. I'm Emily. Today, I'll continue reading from the April 2024 edition of Prevention Magazine. Let's pick up where we left off. We were reading from the In Focus section of Prevention Magazine regarding sleep. Our first article for today is titled, What's Your Chronotype? The Early Bird Gets the Worm? It's more like the lion does, according to the set of animal-centric sleep personalities coined by Michael J. Breas, Ph.D., a clinical psychologist and a fellow of American Academy of Sleep Medicine. We each have a sleep chronotype that reflects our body's natural preference for when we fall asleep and when we wake up. These are tied to our circadian rhythm, our internal body clock that regulates cycles of alertness and sleepiness. But the sleep chronotypes may also be associated with certain personality traits or habits. Figuring out where you fit into the animal sleep kingdom can help you tweak your routine for better snoozing. Lion. Wake up, 5 a.m. Most productive, 8 a.m. to noon. Bedtime, 9 p.m. People with the lion chronotype tend to wake up early, often around 5 a.m., and feel most energetic and productive before noon. Lions may feel most accomplished when they tackle their daily to-do list as soon as possible, before their energy levels begin to fall in the early afternoon. Lions typically wind down in the early evening. Is this you? Try this. Meal prepping dinner is a smart move, since you'll likely hit the sack on the earlier side. Making it easier for yourself to get a balanced meal on the table quickly means you'll have time to get in other good-for-you activities, like an evening walk or meditation session, before it's time for bed. Bear. Wake up, 7 a.m. Most productive, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Bedtime, 10 p.m. Roughly 55% of people are bears, making this the most common sleep chronotype. Like bears in the wild, people with this chronotype follow the sun, waking up when it rises in the early morning and retiring as darkness falls in the early evening, making nighttime social activities a challenge. Is this you? Try this. Fuel up with a brain power breakfast that will get you through our most productive chunk of the day. It should include quality carbs, such as oats or whole grain toast, protein, say eggs or yogurt, and a healthy fat source, avocados or nuts, and minimize sugar to prevent a crash. Wolf. Wake up, 9 a.m. Most productive, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Bedtime, midnight. If you know someone who isn't a morning person, chances are they are a wolf. About 15% of people have this chronotype. Wolves usually wake up later in the day and tend to get bursts of energy in the evening. Is this you? Try this. Knowing what winds you down at night can help prevent your bedtime from getting extended even later so you won't skimp on Z's. If you can't seem to find the magic sleep switch, try sipping decaffeinated tea made from something like chamomile, lemongrass, rose, or valerian root. All these contain plant compounds that may produce feelings of calmness to support a healthy sleep cycle. Dolphin. Wake up, 6 a.m. Most productive, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Bedtime, 11 p.m. Dolphins are able to remain alert while sleeping, so as to evade predators, and people with this sleep chronotype often complain of insomnia, tend to be prone to fragmented sleep patterns, and are sensitive to light and noise while they sleep. Is this you? Try this. Take a look at your sleep routine and see where you can make small improvements. Maybe you need to focus on going to sleep and waking up at more consistent times all week. Perhaps you'd benefit from white noise to help drown out sounds that disrupt your slumber at night. And if any sliver of light rouses you, try hanging blackout curtains and wearing a silk sleep mask, and covering electronics that give off a glow. For more information on sleep chronotypes and how to thrive with yours, visit Breas' website at thesleepdoctor.com. Our next article is titled Sleep Solutions by Lisa Bain. Tossing, turning, and pacing rather than snoozing? If your buzzy brain is keeping you from falling asleep or staying asleep, we've got some advice. Having trouble dozing off at night? First, set yourself up for success. Follow the basic rules from the National Sleep Foundation. Make sure your room is cool between 60 degrees Fahrenheit and 67 degrees Fahrenheit is best. And dark blackout curtains or blinds help. And charge your phone far away from your bed. In fact, it's smart to avoid screens for an hour before bedtime. Extra sleep support. Try writing down a list before lights out. Choose a things I'm worried about list, to-do list for the next day, or a gratitude list, whichever will help you let go. Breathe to calm your mind. Deep breathing is known to calm the nervous system and promote relaxation, says Lindsay Benoy O'Connell, founder of the Lab Wellness, a certified meditation teacher, breathwork facilitator, and sound healer. She suggests the 4-7-8 technique. Lie in bed, close your eyes, and place your tongue on the roof of your mouth behind your teeth. Inhale softly through your nostrils for 4 counts. Hold your breath for 7 counts, and exhale through your mouth for 8 counts, making a gentle whooshing sound. Repeat the cycle 3 more times. Having trouble falling back to sleep during the wee hours? Find peace of mind with meditation. Tap into mindfulness to help quiet brain chatter, says O'Connell. Visualize a restful place. It could be a serene beach, your childhood bedroom, or anywhere you feel happy and relaxed, she says. This is calming and can help distract you from ruminating. Extra sleep support. Enhance your meditation by adding more details about your imaginary safe space. Think about what you would see around you or how it would sound or smell, says O'Connell. Make it as vivid as you can and let the peacefulness soothe you as you head to slumberland. Still can't drift off? If you've been trying for 15 minutes or so, relocate to a different, comfy spot, suggests American Academy of Sleep Medicine. Do something that won't engage your brain, like stretching or reading a boring book. Keep the lights dim, and when your eyelids start getting heavy again, slip back under the covers. Sleep Tracking 101 by Raj Dasgupta, MD. To sleep track or to not sleep track? This is the question for many sleepers who are interested in knowing what happens while they're conked out. But what exactly is your device or app tracking, and what do you do with its insights once you have them? In simple terms, sleep tracking actively monitors sleep patterns and sleep quality throughout the night. There are countless sleep tracking devices, and their compatibilities can differ slightly, but most log things such as duration of sleep, time spent in bed, how long you're in various sleep stages, sleep quality, and other factors such as movement, snoring, and nighttime awakenings. What's still up in the air is how accurate sleep trackers are. They're not so precise when it comes to pinpointing time spent in specific sleep stages, such as REM, the stage in which you dream. But they're generally good at estimating total sleep duration and assessing patterns such as how often you awaken during the night. Tracking sleep patterns can be useful in helping you figure out where you need to clean up your sleep hygiene to snooze more soundly for better overall health and well-being. For instance, if you notice that you seem to be roused repeatedly throughout the night, you might try sleeping with white noise or a fan to help muffle environmental sounds that could be interrupting your slumber. Or, if your sleep app picks up on frequent snoring, your doctor may suggest that you get screened for sleep apnea. Sleep tracking has the potential to do more harm than good for certain people. Some may experience anxiety and stress over negative results, which could lead to a type of insomnia called orthosomnia that is characterized by obsession over sleep issues. Others may ignore signs that they're not getting enough good quality sleep if a less than accurate tracking device says everything is golden. That's why it is best to talk with your doctor or sleep specialist before embarking on a sleep tracking journey. They can help you choose a sleep tracker that might work best for your sleep needs and then work with you to interpret and use its insights to improve your sleep. Types of sleep trackers. Smartphone apps. Sleep tracking apps are convenient and plentiful, but less accurate than wearable devices. Many detect noises, making them an option if you want to record snoring or sleep talking. Wristbands. relatively comfortable and generally accurate in estimating total sleep, along with measurements such as blood pressure and heart rate. Rings. These trackers tend to be comfortable and track total sleep duration accurately. Sleep mats. Bed-based trackers are the least common type, but they can detect motion accurately during sleep. Headbands. These are on the rise despite not being the most practical. Sensors measure the brain activity to track sleep duration and time spent in sleep stages. Some offer meditations paired with your biometric data as an avenue toward relaxation and better sleep. Moving on to the next article titled, Best Bedtime Bites by Alyssa Jung. Ever say goodnight and then you have a stomach enter the conversation with a loud grumbling that means, feed me. Contrary to what you might have heard about pre-bed snacking messing with sleep, the right bedtime snack can actually help summon Z's, or at least satisfy your peckishness so you can nod off, says Jocelyn London, MSRD, a New York City-based registered dietitian and podcast host and the author of Dressing on the Side and Other Diet Myths Debunked. Here, snooze-promoting combos to try along with how to create your own bedtime bite. Whole grain cereal and milk. Try having breakfast before bed. The carbohydrates in whole grain cereal help you fall asleep, and protein-rich milk helps you stay asleep, says London. Milk is chock-full of calcium and magnesium, which help you produce melatonin, the hormone responsible for sleep regulation, London adds. Choose a low-sugar cereal with 4 grams or less of the sweet stuff and opt for a low-fat or non-fat milk. Pistachios and tart cherries. This conk-out combo is light enough to prevent you from getting too full or bloated to nod off. Pistachios have sleep-inducing protein, vitamin B6 and magnesium, and unsweetened tart cherries contain melatonin. All can help you get some sleep, says London. Aim to have a small handful, about a quarter of a cup, so you won't go to bed feeling stuffed. Herbal tea and graham crackers. Try chamomile or another herbal blend that soothes you. This primes you for sleep by helping you feel cozy and hydrated. Then grab something to munch on, like a couple of sheets of whole grain graham crackers, to get the other vitamins and minerals that will help you power down, says London. Hummus and pita. Dip your way to dreamland. A small portion of hummus paired with a few triangles of 100% whole grain pita or pita chips and a couple of veggie sticks delivers a light mix of protein and carbs to satisfy your appetite and support sleep, London says. Build the perfect sleepy time snack. Keep these tips in mind when deciding what to nosh on. Strive for a combo of carbs and protein to promote satiety and support production of serotonin, a precursor for sleep-promoting melatonin. Choose options that are lower in fat. Lying down after a high-fat meal or snack can disrupt the digestion process, which may lead to GI symptoms like acid reflux and nausea, says London. Consider hydrating foods. Fruits and veggies provide some extra H2O along with key minerals that support the production of neurotransmitters involved with sleep, muscle and nerve function, and blood pressure regulation, says London. And the final article from the InFocus section is titled, Sleep and Your Mood by Stephanie Dolgoff. Findings from a National Sleep Foundation survey resoundingly confirmed what clinical studies and the too frequent experience of snapping at a child for behaving like a child have been pointing out for decades. When you don't get enough quality sleep, you feel like trash. Among other findings, adults who slept less than 7 hours per weekday night were 3 times as likely to have moderate to severe depressive symptoms as those who slept 7 to 9 hours. And 65% of people who were dissatisfied with their sleep had mild or greater levels of depressive symptoms, with 31% in the moderate to severe range. Even getting just 2 nights of rough sleep was associated with greater levels of depressive symptoms. Meanwhile, more than 90% of those who were happy with their sleep and who engaged in healthy sleep behaviors reported no depression or minimal levels of it. These stats are drawn from the general population, not folks who were selected for a study because they already had been diagnosed with insomnia or clinical depression. The majority of what we know comes from clinical research. Here we're talking about your neighbor, your son or daughter, or your mailman, says Joseph M. Dzierzewski, Ph.D., Vice President of Research and Scientific Affairs at the National Sleep Foundation. Your brain needs to snooze. Lack of sleep affects your ability to regulate your emotions, making handling daily stresses even harder, and being super stressed in general can keep you up at night, continuing the miserable cycle. Exactly why isn't clear, but part of the reason is that sleep lets the brain regroup. Healthy sleep repairs adaptive processing, functional brain activity, and the integrity of the media prefrontal cortex amygdala connections, and thus improves the capacity to regulate emotions as well as individuals' well-being, concluded one literature review in the journal AIMS Neuroscience. Of course, trouble sleeping is both a cause and a symptom of depression, which means it can be hard to untangle the real issue and help someone feel better. What's more, when someone improves their sleep, it's more likely to wind up improving their mood than treating depression and hoping they start to sleep better, says Dzierzewski. Poor sleep is likely to be one of the remaining symptoms after your mood is improved, he adds. Sleep better to feel better. So what's a person whose depression is keeping them up do? Whether it feels that way or not, you do have the power to improve your sleep, and it starts with simple tweaks to daily habits. If you are somewhat depressed or irritable or anxious or are experiencing other mood issues tied to depression, but you're still functional, Dzierzewski recommends making sure you do what he calls the basics. Spend time in bright light, ideally in the morning, exercise and eat meals at consistent times. Everyone can do these things and it can make a big difference to nighttime sleep, Dzierzewski says, adding that these habits may also help alleviate depression. If you're quite depressed and the basics are hard, or if your relationships at work or life balance are suffering, see your doctor to address your mental health directly. And if you're simply not getting enough sleep because you're having too much fun or can't stop binge-watching a favorite show, know that not prioritizing sleep can lead to mood issues that haven't been a problem before. Some signs that you're slipping into depression include being overly irritable, experiencing relationship strain, and not finding joy in things you typically like. These are indications that your mood is suffering, and it could be related to your sleep, Dzierzewski says. No matter what, when you sleep poorly, it shades the lens through which you view the world. It all comes down to how you feel when you're awake, so a good place to start is with how you are feeling, he adds. 45% who had trouble falling asleep nightly reported moderate to severe levels of depressive symptoms. 55% who scored low on measures of quality sleep reported mild or greater levels of depressive symptoms. 38% with difficulty staying asleep 2 nights a week reported mild or greater depressive symptoms. And only 9% who practice healthy sleep behaviors reported depressive symptoms. Moving on to the wellness section of Prevention Magazine, the next article is titled, 5 Myths About Coffee. Our devotion to Joe has led some folks to think it must be an evil brew, but that view is not grounded in fact. By Kate Rockwood. Myth number 1. Caffeine addiction is a real problem. Mythbuster. The word addict is loaded, and for most people, a coffee habit is not a big deal. When we think of addiction, we immediately think of alcohol, nicotine, or drugs. When it comes to caffeine or coffee, the term addiction may be too strong, says Frank Hu, MD, PhD, a professor of nutrition and epidemiology at Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. The physical health and social consequences of caffeine use are not as serious. Illegal stimulants send levels of dopamine, the body's feel-good hormone, soaring, making you crave more to get you the same reward response. But caffeine raises dopamine levels only slightly. That's why caffeine withdrawal symptoms are more manageable, Dr. Hughes says. They include fatigue and headache. Still, if you don't like the way caffeine makes you feel, cut back. Just do it slowly, so as to avoid withdrawal symptoms. Myth number 2. Coffee is dehydrating. Mythbuster. Caffeine is a diuretic, so coffee makes you pee more. But drinking even as much as 4 cups a day won't dehydrate you, research shows. That's because the water in the coffee balances out the slight diuretic effect of the caffeine, says Whitney Stewart, a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and a certified diabetes educator. Look at the color of your urine for a clue as to whether you're getting enough fluid. It should have a straw yellow color, a tinge of yellow. Stewart explains, if it's darker than that, you should drink more water. Myth number 3. Drinking coffee sobers you up. Mythbuster. Drinking coffee does not get alcohol out of your system any faster, even if you feel more awake and alert, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports. This means that if you are drunk, having coffee does not make it okay to drive. Research has found that caffeine does not reverse alcohol's impairment of psychomotor tasks, skills like driving that require thought, movement, and coordination. In fact, caffeine may make you feel more capable because you're less drowsy, but you'll still be a worse driver, says Marilyn Cornelius, PhD, an associate professor of preventative medicine at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine in Chicago. Coffee may even encourage people to drink more alcohol because it makes them feel less sleepy. Myth number 4. Darker roasts have more caffeine. Mythbuster. A darker roast simply means that the beans have been roasted longer, not that there's a different amount of caffeine in them, says Cornelius. Measured scoop against scoop, darker roasts can actually contain less caffeine than lighter roasts because coffee beans puff up when roasted longer, meaning you'll need fewer of them to fill your machine. That said, many coffee shops weigh out their beans, which means a brewed cup of dark roast might contain slightly more caffeine than a light roast, Cornelius adds. If you're concerned about caffeine, it's more important to pay attention to the type of bean. Robusta beans, for example, contain twice as much caffeine as Arabica ones. And how the coffee is made, using more water dilutes the caffeine more. If you're trying to keep acidity down, you'll want to look for a darker roast, which is less acidic than a lighter roast of the same bean. And myth number 5. Coffee is bad for you. Mythbuster. Just the opposite. Research shows that drinking a moderate amount of coffee, about 2 to 5 cups a day, reduces the risk of diseases such as type 2 diabetes, heart disease, Parkinson's disease, liver cancer, and depression, says Harvard's Dr. Hu. It can even lower your risk of death from any cause. The evidence is quite strong that regular coffee consumption is more helpful than harmful, Dr. Hu says. Why? Coffee is a good source of antioxidant and anti-inflammatory phytochemicals that can improve disease risk factors like insulin resistance, says Stewart. Just try to stick to 400 milligrams of caffeine a day, 200 milligrams or less during pregnancy, so your sleep won't be disrupted. And go easy on carbohydrate-heavy sweetened coffee drinks, like vanilla oat milk lattes, which are really caffeinated desserts in disguise. The next article is titled, Natural Fixes, No More Nausea. Try these holistic approaches to find relief. Written by Madeline Haas. Maybe you ate some questionable clams, or you're not one for open water, or you're just anxious. Whatever is causing your queasiness, you'll feel it in your gut because of your brain. The area postrema in the brain region is responsible for detecting toxins in the blood and also controls vomiting. You feel nauseated when it gets activated, whether by food, by medications, or by a health condition, says Andrew Boxer, MD, a gastroenterologist at Gastroenterology Associates of New Jersey. Solutions for your stomach. Nausea is typically treated by fixing the underlying cause of the queasiness, Dr. Boxer says. Still, if you need relief while you determine how to handle the bigger issue, medicines known as antiemetics can help. There are also plenty of at-home remedies you can try. Here are three that Dr. Boxer supports. Ginger. This root vegetable has been used to help with nausea since ancient times, says Dr. Boxer. The chemicals in it, gingerols and schocolols, help keep food moving through the gut easily and get a good pace. This makes ginger effective at decreasing nausea, Dr. Boxer explains. Try sipping ginger tea or taking a ginger supplement. Note that ginger may cause side effects, including heartburn, when consumed in high amounts. Always consult your doctor before adding new supplements to your diet. Acupressure. The holistic health technique can be effective against nausea, specifically when focused on the point of the inner wrist, Dr. Boxer says. When blood flow is reduced in the stomach or in the brain, intestinal nerves are triggered, which can lead to nausea. Pressing on this spot on the wrist is thought to help stomach muscles relax and also improve blood flow. Wristbands that apply pressure to the spot are sold over the counter, but DIY acupressure can work just as well for short bouts of queasiness. To do it, using your index and middle fingers, press firmly on the groove between the two large tendons on the inside of your forearm, approximately 3 finger widths from your wrist. Peppermint. This can have a calming effect on nerves and relax muscles of the GI tract, which will help keep stomach muscles from cramping, Dr. Boxer explains. You can consume peppermint oil safely by taking 1 or 2 drops at a time, or you can sip peppermint tea. If you take peppermint oil orally, you may experience heartburn or nausea as a side effect. Peppermint oil comes in supplement form too, but talk to your doctor before adding new supplements to your regimen. When you should see a doctor. It could be a more serious problem if you have bouts of nausea that last longer than a month. If it gets worse over time, if you can't stay hydrated, or if you also experience chest pain, severe abdominal pain, blurred vision, fever, or weight loss. That's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the April 2024 edition of Prevention Magazine. I'm Emily. So long until next time.